On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, we are standing on the lawn of the U of A Mall, broadcasting live at the Tucson Festival of Books, joined now with the luckiest man alive.
Yeah, certainly, in the top 10,
best
that's for sure.
Best employed man alive. Mr. Jim Cook, the Western National Parks Association, talking about, we were right in the middle of a conversation about describing the Hubble Trading Post up on, is it on Indian Reservation on
yes,
Navajo land?
The Navajo Indian Reservation. Yep. Yeah, so to continue my story, this park was established in 1965 by Congress. The man who was responsible largely for advocating for this place being established was Ned Danson, the father of Ted Danson, actually. He was the director.
He's on your video.
Yes, he is. And he was part of our book festival.
Okay.
Celebrating our 75th anniversary 5 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
So interesting story. So Ned Danson was the director of the Museum of Northern Arizona, famous museum. And he saw and recognized the significance of this site, this historic site, that was established by Don Lorenzo Hubble in 1878. He was an entrepreneur. He had trust of the Navajo people, who had just been decimated by the Long Walk and the very aggressive campaign against them by the U.S. Army and the U.S. government.
Kind of a brave move on his part.
Moving
Mr.
Hubble,
what could have been a very hostile neighborhood.
Well, there he grew up speaking Navajo, actually, and
okay.
And there was a bond and a trust and a love of the Navajo people, and he was quite an entrepreneur. At one time, he operated up to 24 trading posts across the West, and he was highly influential in the design and sales of Navajo rugs, particularly. So back in those days, the rugs were predominantly something that were utilitarian and certainly symbolic and significant in many ways. But at that time, when the Navajo people had very little, the sheep were decimated, whatnot, he helped create sort of a trading opportunity. So these became products, and because of his entrepreneurship, he was able to help create interest in rugs for sale. And so at that time, people started to buy them. And anyway, so Hubble Trading Post has been operated, the Trading Post activities, that is, has been operated by us since it became a unit of the National Park Service.
And it's still there.
It is. And the mandate was to maintain the what they call the a traditional trading post. So it's not your typical historic site where you go and
that's a good museum. Cool,
and you look at artifacts. It really is still an active trading post.
And y'all have actually rebuilt a recreation of it here at the Tucson Book Festival,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so with our National Park Service partners, we were able to secure a small grant to create some backdrops that replicate the trading post, so people get a little better sense of what it's like.
Well, like I say, anytime we can help ignite the fire in this generation, this young generation's enthusiasm over anything outside, outdoors, I'm all for it. So y'all have the Junior Ranger program. Let's talk about that.
Sure. It's a wonderful program. It's actually a program of the National Park Service, and we support that program a lot in different ways. So when families go to national parks, a lot of the parks have a program, and what that means is the children are given an activity booklet. It's pretty simple, and they learn in that process of going through those activities about the major significance of that particular park. And after they complete that, they get sworn in by a National Park Service ranger. It's a big deal. People applaud them usually afterwards.
Yes.
And they earn a junior ranger badge. We support the program through, in many cases, helping develop those free publications or the activity booklets. So we publish those. We also create a lot of the bling that go along with the whole program.
Okay.
So, you know, the badges, we create really cool vests like what I'm holding up and showing you right now.
The adventure vest.
Exactly.
Room Junior for your Ranger. Binoculars and your compass, your
exactly.
GPS, your maps.
Yep. So all that stuff can go right on this vest. We have hats and science kits and a lot of other things. So it is a wonderful program, and that's one of our major fundraising campaign is to get more kids exposed to the Junior Ranger program.
Western National Parks Association, born 1938, right here in Arizona at Casa Grande. Was the structure already built protecting Casa Grande? It was. That
yes.
actually dates to the early 1900s, I remember.
Actually, if my facts are correct.
Yours are probably more correct than mine.
Yeah, it was really early 1900, yeah. And the steel structure was a little later after the wooden one was established.
When you tour Casa Grande and when you tour Pueblo Grande in Phoenix, it's amazing to take the time to realize how many people those rivers supported.
Yeah.
The population, I think, surprises a lot of people.
Indeed. And there are probably lessons learned or to be learned still about how people on this planet interact with nature and how the force of nature can be a major issue. It is obviously very much part of our daily lives, and we're not always aware of that. You know, with our modern conveniences, it feels often like we're several steps away from nature, and so these national parks provide an opportunity for a visceral experience in nature, but also in history. And so, you know, there are opportunities there for us to learn as human beings about the forces of nature and the impact of history.
And how survivable it is here. I'm amazed, and I have to go back to Casa Grande every once in a while just to review my statistic. But the mounds that are located basically from the Tucson area all up the I-10 corridor, both sides, the number of athletic mounds and arenas that were created back in the day that people would travel great distances to come see these games. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Indeed.
And you can still see an old arena or what's left of it that they had made out of dirt front at the Casa Grande.
Yeah.
And what was that? Something in the neighborhood of 1300 that property vacated? That's a story of masonry. I mean, that ruin there was built by people with hands and mud that didn't have a water that had to trench a water resource from the Gila River, and it's still standing 1,000 years later.
Wow, it is incredible. You were talking about at one point the Western National Park Association headquartering in Globe. You know, that's a real hotbed of early civilization. That
yep.
whole area back in there is just covered. The Tonto Monument,
yep.
and then
yep.
back behind Roosevelt, up Cherry Creek, and Pueblo. U of A's got a big archaeological
yep.
site up there. Pueblo Canyon up Cherry Creek, and Coldwater Canyon. I mean, just some beautifully, you hike up box canyons that end in waterfalls where both sides of the canyon are lined with one and two-story remnants of these dwelling places. Absolutely beautiful places.
Yep. Yeah, we're really blessed that people in those early days had the wisdom to start protecting these places. Without that protection, people would not have the opportunity to actually go and see and experience these places.
All right, Jim, last year you say you finally accomplished seeing all 71 of the national park units, affiliates that y'all are associated with, that you participate with. Of the 71, what would be the first one you'd go back to?
That's a great question. I would love to go back to Great Basin. Great Basin in Nevada. It's
okay.
It's a magnificent national park. It has significance because it tells the story of the natural phenomenon of the Great Basin. I learned so much about the Great Basin, how the water in that basin doesn't flow to either a major water course, either east or west, it stays within that basin. So it's truly a natural phenomenon, and it's huge. Most of Nevada is the Great Basin. So geologically speaking, it's a natural phenomenon. But it's also just plain out beautiful. And one of the most amazing experiences is to be able to go up and touch the longest living organism on Earth. Pine there, I'll remember it in a moment.
As soon as we hit commercial break, it'll come back
yes.
To you.
It's quite amazing. They live up to 5,000 years old. And so you're able to experience something that's pretty special.
Been there for a little while. That's neat.
Yeah.
And that's, what part of Nevada is that? How would you get there from here?
So you could either go up through Las Vegas and hug the Nevada-Utah line. Some people will go to Salt Lake City and access it from there.
Y'all have a tab here, astronomy at the Great Basin. I bet that's a pretty spectacular sky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, the road that leads there is called the loneliest road in the United States. And
I'm going.
It's true.
That's all I needed to hear.
I'm going. It's true.
Yeah, you're between Las Vegas and Salt Lake City, and there's nothing else on the map in between.
Yep, bristlecone pine. That's the pine tree.
Bristlecone
pine.
Lived up to 5,000 years.
Up to 5,000 years old. And they occur in that area, and you'll see them as far west as California. So they do occur in California as well.
So of the 71, you'd be at Great Basin.
I'd go back there in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Of course, I love them all. You know, we love all of our children, and they're all really very special. Every time I go to a park that I've not been to, it exceeds my expectations, always.
There's a cave system there?
Yes, the Lehman Cave, a very famous cave. So there's that opportunity. There's a mountain peak that I climbed. It's 13,000 plus feet, so it's
almost Flagstaff's height.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful hike, and again, that you'll encounter the bristlecone pines up in there.
That's awesome. Well, we're here.
I didn't think anything in Nevada. When you say Great Basin, that's all I picture of Nevada, just flat,
concave. We're here with Mr. Jim Cook, CEO of Western National Parks Association, broadcasting live from Tucson Festival of the Books. And I can tell you, wherever you're listening to us right now, from Page to Nogales, if you're a lover of books, pack your lunch, fill your car.
You don't have to pack lunch.
And, well, you just to get here. There's plenty of food once you get here. Get in the car and get down to the U of A campus. You cannot miss it. There are hundreds of vendors. There's literally millions of books. How many stages are here? There's got to be like 8 or 9 stages here with like hourly events everywhere. This is like one of those events that has so much going on, you'd have to come multiple years just to soak up quadrants of it.
Indeed, indeed. So while you're plugging the Book Festival, we'll plug our National Park Experience Pavilion.
And we're going to do that as soon as we get back, right here with Mr. Jim Cook of the Western National Parks Association.